This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and not all of us have the privilege of a private home office or even privacy at home with which to work at all. On the other hand, many offices are closed or encouraging remote work. So what's the next best thing? A co-working space, of course, much like Work, for example. I have Stephanie Ping, founder and CEO of Work, to talk all about how they've been coping throughout the pandemic.
So Work is a flexible office space provider, and one of our products is the co-working space. You know, basically it is an ultra flexible office that you can just drop in and it's fully plug and play. And on the amenity side, everything is set up and the amount of commitment that you would invest into this is very minimal. So it's very risk-free and it's very flexible. So you can come in for like one day, and I always like to say it's almost like Grab, where if you know, in the past, when you want to have a ride in a car, you have to buy a car, you have to rent a car, and now you just buy one ride at a time. Whereas, you know, for offices, it's the same thing. You have to rent for like a minimum of 3 years usually, but now you can just sort of rent it for that one seat for one day. So it's ultra flexible on the real estate side, ultra low risk and low cost commitment. And then at the same time as well, for the community aspect of it, to increase the amount of productivity with every minute that you work, it's very good because you can tap onto people with 20, 30 years of experience that's totally different from you. They may not be a genius, neither are you, but because you guys have such different experiences and you help each other out with the amount of knowledge that you have, then you jumpstart ahead of what you need to get done. And sometimes people even do it for you, or sometimes people introduce connections to you that would take a long time to make. And that would just totally increase your productivity by, you know, every minute that you work, you will achieve more without having to actually go through all that experiences and accumulate all that learning and connection making. Real estate wise, we are a real estate innovation company. It just makes it real estate a lot less difficult for people, a lot less, you know, like it is a lot of hardship in real estate in the past and now it's not. And similarly for how you work, how can you just increase your productivity and basically for the entire economy, the GDP, I believe, will go up if everybody works in this way.
All right. I mean, you were on the show in 2017, but for people who don't know, tell us a little bit about, you know, why you decided to create Work.
One of the reasons why I wanted to create Work is because I see that real estate is very, it causes a lot of hardship for people where if they, you know, want to consume it, it's very expensive. To buy, everybody knows it's very expensive. To rent as well. And oftentimes if you rent, you almost get nothing with it. You don't even get flooring, lighting, Wi-Fi, none of that. Right. Whereas if you even go to Starbucks, you get all of that and even service with a smile. And real estate as an industry has not been innovated for a long time. And I think things need to be done differently. It needs to be much more service oriented and not just service oriented. It needs to be transformational. So, you know, how it can change people's lives. Whereas, you know, the traditional way of doing real estate is really landlording onto the tenant. And I always like to say we are not a landlord. We don't lord over any of our customers. We service them. We also change their lives by the community work style that we do for them and we promote. And many of them have come to us to say that they have found customers, they have found investors, they have grown their team, and they have become successful by being part of our community. Yeah. So that's one reason. And the other reason is to change the way people work, basically increase people's productivity without having to become smarter, more learned and all that kind of stuff. That's just a better way to work that we all need to adopt so that we can achieve more without having to, even work harder and that kind of stuff.
And I think one big advantage that you mentioned in brief of joining a space like Work is that community and the potential relationships that you guys as a space have with other organizations. I believe you work with MDEC and Cradle as well. Can you talk to me a little bit about those particular relationships and how they benefit you and your clients?
MDEC, we are their certified digital hub. All of our co-working spaces are. And what that means is just that we have to satisfy a long list of criteria to be one, including, you know, providing access to funding, providing access to training, providing obviously good internet connection, the ecosystem and all that stuff. So when you see that sign, digital hub, it means that they've done their due diligence and that when you plug into these spaces, you can get all of the above. And like I say, jumpstart yourself with that serious community, business community, you know, not play community, but business for your work life and your productivity. And that's what it means. And then what do you get in return? You know, customers that, you know, come to our space and work out of our space, they get a lot of benefits like the MTAP visa, which, you know, they can apply if they are Malaysia tech, if they are tech entrepreneur, that's from a tech entrepreneur from a different country. And then a lot of like companies can get tax benefits as well as ability to hire foreign talent and all that stuff. Very similar to the MSc statuses that you might get. And that's for MDEC. For Cradle, they are obviously an ecosystem builder for startups. They invest as well as provide grants. They used to invest. Now they provide grants into smaller stage startups. And their job is also to create this ecosystem of startups via a lot of their programs. So they're our investor. And, you know, through Cradle and Cradle through us, we build a very robust ecosystem, especially for the tech companies, as well as small innovation companies to grow big. And that's how we work together a lot. Yeah.
Speaking of investors, before the MCO hit, I suppose, Work actually managed to secure funding towards expansion. So this was, I believe, 10 million ringgit in funding from 7 follow-on investors, including, for example, the Singapore independent fund management company, Philip Capital Management. Can you tell me a little bit about that process and sort of what exactly those expansion plans are?
Yeah, that process was certainly not easy because if you remember during what happened to Malaysia, it's not just COVID. We had to face a triple whammy of COVID, a change of government, as well as oil price crashed at that point. And, you know, we were fundraising in that kind of environment. But testimonial to a good, strong company, like Warren Buffett always says, when the tide goes out, you see who's not wearing any pants and you see, you know, who's a strong company, there will still be people who have money to invest, who are able to say in a weaker economy, the strong companies will grow a lot stronger. And that's the story that we have for the investors. And that's what they believe. And the thing about that process is it's a lot tougher. There's a lot of due diligence that went on, a lot more. There's a lot of number digging and a lot of fact checking. And we're okay with that. We're okay with that because I believe that's how things should be. And we passed all of that, obviously, because we got to raise the funds. On top of that, there were loans that we applied for with the banks. And I wanted the Work to be very disciplined in our financial approach and our sustainability mindset, because I want us to be around like after 10 years. I don't want to be, you know, like, you know, come and gone kind of company. So the discipline is set up so that we can get loans from these very traditional banks who do a lot of due diligence. And we did. We got loan offers from 6 banks and we took one from Affin. Yeah.
Wow. You know, it's truly impressive that, as you mentioned, you know, with that sort of triple threat of COVID and governmental drama and oil prices as well, that you managed to, you know, be successful in this funding process. So, you know, tell me a little bit about where that fund is going to go, because I believe here it says that the plan for the expansion, right, is to grow the co-working spaces tenfold to 1 million square feet. This is already kind of on top of your growth from 2017, you know, when you were interviewed last by us, from 13,000 square feet to 100,000 square feet by the end of 2019. So, I mean, tell me a little bit about that and I guess your projected timeline for that sort of growth.
Yeah, if you think about it, it's very possible. Malaysia's so I'll give you like a big worldwide overview of the flexible office space. Before COVID, people are already adopting this flexible work style, which is, you know, I would like to call it distributed work style, not so much work from home. You work from home, sometimes you go to another location to meet a customer, then you got to go off to run some errands, pick your kid up, drop them off home, work from home, then go to another co-working space, meet your colleagues. You basically integrate your lifestyle and your work so that it's all seamless for you. So a lot of Western companies have been adopting this work style, but when COVID hits, this trend is accelerated, and now a lot of the MNCs are basically saying that they want to provide this kind of work environment to their staff. So we are seeing that we're consulting for a lot of MNC projects to figure out for them how they should do it. And we've got quite a few key accounts that we are doing this for. And what we're seeing is a lot of it is them are taking a hybrid approach. Say 30% of their permanent office will be kept, their HQ, I would say, they give up 70% of it. And the rest of their workers are kind of floating around the entire like Klang Valley or Malaysia and just dropping in and out of these spaces when they need to meet someone and when they need to work with people or see clients and so forth. When they need very quiet time, they work from home. Or when they need very quiet time, but home is not an option, then they work from, say, a co-working space and so forth. So it's very good for the lifestyle of the worker, and it's also very productive for the company. Right. So we see this happening in the Western world a lot, and it's also coming to Malaysia because we're doing some of this consulting work for the companies that we are working with. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's time for a short break for some messages right now, but after that, I will continue speaking to Stephanie Ping of Work about how they survived the MCO. So do stay tuned to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Buggy Free Minum, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and today I have on the line Stephanie Ping, who is the founder and CEO of Work, which is a co-working or, I guess, flexible working space. And before the break, we were just talking a little bit about their successful funding that they managed to secure before the MCO, as well as their interesting relationships with MDEC and Cradle as well. Now, I guess the question that we've had to ask every single business that's been on the show so far, because it is the elephant in the room, really. Tell me about how Work dealt with the MCO and the general kind of shock of COVID.
The shock of COVID MCO, obviously that, you know, requires us to shut down. It's what the government had put into place, and we respect that and we shut down. So, you know, you'll see some of our companies struggling. And we came up with relief programs for them, and we come up with it fast. So the day after the MCO was announced, we announced a 30% relief rebate program. And then even for the CMCO, most recently, we had announced a 20% relief program. And not just that, right? We talked to our customers to see how we can help them restructure a lot of their memberships with us. Or if you got to go out for a little while, we'll be happy to freeze their membership until they need to come back and that kind of. So we work with them. We're not their landlord. We work with them to ensure the sustainability of their business while ensuring that we are sustainable as well. But, you know, COVID is not the worst for this industry in the short term, of course, because, you know, if the government makes everyone shut down, then you have to shut down. But in the longer term, in the mid to longer term, companies are adopting this flexible distributed work style. That's going to be very good for the flexible office market, especially if you build the company sustainably, profitably. You don't close down any of these outlets due to COVID or due to less sustainable practices. You've heard of WeWork. Then you're going to be able to benefit from this new adoption of the work style post-COVID. some statistics for the people listening to your show. JLL has predicted that by 2030, 30% of the office market will be used flexibly. And in Malaysia now, the penetration rate is just 1%. So you can see that's very low, whereas in the Asia average is at 3%. So Malaysia, even as of today, there's a latent demand of 2% that's not being met, that work can, you know, go out and meet this demand. And on top of that, the rise up towards the 30% of the norm being predicted is going to be a huge market, which is why we can absolutely achieve our goal of growing 10 times and reaching the 1 million square feet in 5 years. So that's where all the numbers come from.
I see. One thing that you brought up was this communication and this support that you gave to the companies that are working in your space, and, you know, that sense of community and kind of working together to ensure that both parties survive, I suppose. Tell me a little bit about your Uplift initiative and how that was a change for you guys in 2020.
Uplift initiative is to, you know, reduce the prices for the SMEs. They are facing a lot more problems than the big companies now. And we have customers from one-man show to, you know, bigger SMEs to large. We have a company, WPP, that we do consulting and project management, as well as managing their entire office for 500 packs of their team. And they're the world's biggest advertising agency based in the UK. So for the smaller companies, the SMEs, they are facing a lot more problems in the COVID environment. And for them, we want to help them and we want to give back to them because it's part of investing into our community. So to reduce their stress a little bit, right? And then just to ensure that they get help, and not just with money, but also connecting them to new customer lines, connecting them to new partners that they can work with, connecting them to funding sources, upskilling, because they all need to go digital now. So how can we help them do that through our community managers, as well as all the programs that we have, really makes a difference in their lives, especially now.
I see. And, you know, how are you navigating customer concerns, or, you know, in terms of health and safety protocols in your spaces as well?
In terms of that, our operations team is fully on top. Firstly, you know, the customers always love them. Even pre-COVID, they're always saying how, you know, they're making the impossible possible. We've got a thank you email like that. So the customer service, ensuring that we work with our customers' team, as well as the senior management, to ensure everything goes smoothly is one thing. But when COVID hits, we already have a full team that, you know, who are happy, who like to service the customers even better during and after COVID. So a lot of the SOPs are in place. We ensure that everybody signs in with either the Selangka or the, what's the name of the other app?
MySejahtera?
Yes, the MySejahtera app. We ensure that they fill up a form, and it's sometimes a little, you know, more work for the customer, but we also give them surveys to ask what is their experience. And they say that they don't mind the extra work signing into the space because they know that we're doing our jobs to keep them safe. So we'd spend quite a bit of money to, you know, upgrade a lot of our SOPs, but that's okay. It's something that needs to be done. Something needs to be done into the future. And we see it as an investment into our business and into our customers and wider community. And we're happy to do that.
You know, a point that you brought up, I think, before the break is sort of the appeal of co-working in a pandemic, right? And the idea that, you know, flexible working spaces are more important than ever. You know, I mean, tell me a little bit about, you know, how you think the pandemic will sort of shape the future of the appeal of co-working spaces like yours.
In the Western world, you'll see a lot of these companies adopting it now. If you see the news, even before COVID, like Microsoft has given people 70% of their sales team WeWork access. You know, Twitter, you know, Dropbox, all of them are working from home to the end of the year and maybe longer.
Right.
And what's happening now is that a distributed work style is being adopted, and boardrooms are all figuring out how can they give up their permanent, difficult to manage, high risk and high lock-in period of their HQ, and reduce the space that's locked in for the long term and have the rest of their workers work from anywhere whenever they want. So if they're working from home, they're working from home, but they're not just never ever going to come out of their house, right? They will probably drop in sometimes. For those with children and distractions, they may want to drop in sometimes. When they have to work in a project, in a group, they'll drop in for meeting room, or they'll, you know, get a permanent private room in our space that their team can drop in. And they just work in a very distributed work style and very flexible work style. For the companies, it's super easy because they don't have to go out and get all these co-working spaces distributed everywhere for their workers. They just come to us and get access passes for all their staff, and their staff can just tap in and tap out whenever they want. And when they tap in, they pay us. When they don't tap in, they don't pay us.
Right.
So it's very risk-free for the company to give this benefit to their team. So that's what's happening a lot and in the Western world. And then I foresee, and in Malaysia too, because we are doing consulting projects for these MNCs on how to arrange this for their workers. And then moving forward, I think more and more companies in Malaysia will adopt this work style and just basically make lives better for their team.
I guess the question I'm trying to ask is, do you think that the pandemic has heightened the appeal of flexible or co-working spaces?
Yes, because now, you know, in the past, things are status quo. So all the companies have their HQ, they've got 10 floors, they've signed in for the next 5 years. But now with COVID, you're seeing that their workers can work remotely. They don't all have to go into the HQ to work. And it's going well. So they can adopt this distributed work style. Mm-hmm. That's how it's going to be.
All right. And my final question for you, Stephanie, what are Work's plans for 2021?
2021, in the next year and a half, we plan to grow twice our size. And basically we can, because what we have done with our company is that on the demand side, due to the adoption of distributed work style, we will get it. But at the same time, on the supply side, we have built our company to be very resilient and sustainable and here to stay for the long term, because we are profitable. And we are also, you know, what we like to tell customers is to make sure they do due diligence. They've heard about, say, WeWork. You know, some co-working spaces are closing down their outlets. That's not good, because you may not, you know, want to, you want to be with someone who's going to be around for a longer time. You don't want them to close down the outlet on you. And to basically check and do due diligence and make sure that the company that you deal with is sustainable. And because we are that, you know, we would be able to grow pretty easily 2 times in the next year, and then, you know, onto the 1 million square feet into the next 5 years, and innovate the real estate market so that real estate continues to be easier for everybody to use, cheaper, less costly, and less risk for them. And people just have an easier time and lives using all these services.
Fantastic. Right. Well, thank you very much, Stephanie, for joining me today on Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and if you've missed any of this interview, you can download our app available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also head over to our website, bfm.my/podcast, to catch up on any of the interview that you missed, or you can also listen back on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. This has been Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.